I felt adult. I was sitting next to Jeremiah, and he had his arm around my chair. And yet, all night I talked to other people. I didn't look in his direction, but I always knew where he was. I was painfully aware of him. When he was nearby, my body hummed. When he was away, there was this dull ache. With him near, I felt everything. He was sitting next to Annika, and he said something that made her laugh. I could feel my heart pinch. I looked away. Tom stood up and made a toast. To Belly and Jayfish, a really, he belched, amazing couple, really freaking amazing. I saw Annika give Taylor a look like, you think this guy is cute? Taylor shrugged back at her. Everyone lifted their beer cans and wine glasses, and we clinked. Jeremiah pulled me to him and kissed me on the lips, in front of everyone. I pulled away, feeling embarrassed. I saw the look on Conrad's face and wished I hadn't. Then Stephen said, "One more toast, guys." Awkwardly, he stood up. "I've known Jer my whole life. Belly too, unfortunately." I threw my napkin at him. "You guys are good together," Stephen said, looking at me. Then he looked at Jeremiah. "Treat her right, man. She's a pain in the ass, but she's the only sister I've got." I could feel myself tear up. I got up and hugged him. "You jerk," I said, wiping my eyes. As I sat back down next to Jer, he said, "I guess I should say something, too. First, thanks for coming, you guys. Josh, Redbird, Taylor, and Annika. It means a lot to have you here with us." Jer nudged me, and I stared up at him, waiting for him to mention Conrad. I gave him a pointed look, but he didn't seem to get it. He said, "You say something too, Belly." "Thanks for coming," I echoed. "And Conrad, thanks for this amazing meal. Really freaking amazing." Everyone laughed. After dinner, I went up to Jeremiah's room and watched him get ready to go out with the boys. The girls were staying behind. I'd told Taylor she could go and get her flirt on with Redbird, but she said she'd rather stay. "He ate his steak with his hands," she'd said, looking sick. Jer was putting on deodorant, and I was sitting on his unmade bed.
"You sure you don't want to come with us?"
he asked. "I'm sure." Suddenly I said, "Hey, remember that time when you found that dog on the beach? And we named her Rosie until we realized she was a boy, and then we still kept calling her Rosie anyway?" He looked at me, frowning slightly, remembering,
"It wasn't me who found her. It was Conrad."
"No, it wasn't. It was you. And you cried when her owners came and got her."
"No, that was Conrad."
His voice was hard all of a sudden. "I don't think so," I said.
"It definitely was."
"Are you sure?" I asked him.
"I'm positive. Steve and I gave him so much shit for crying."
Had it really been Conrad? I'd been so sure of that memory. We had Rosie for 3 glorious days before someone claimed her. Rosie was sweet. She was yellow, and she had soft fur, and we fought over whose bed she would sleep in at night. We decided to take turns, and my turn was last because I was the youngest, so I never got to keep her in my bed. What else had I remembered wrong? I was a person who loved to play remember when in my head. I'd always prided myself on how I remembered every detail. It scared me to think that my memories could be just ever so slightly wrong. Chapter 44. After the boys left, we went up to my room to do nails and practice makeup for the wedding. "I still think you should get your makeup done," Taylor said from my bed. She was doing her toes a pale, chalky pink. "I don't want to spend any more of Mr. Fisher's money. He's spending enough as it is," I said. "Besides, I hate wearing a lot of makeup. I never look like me." "They're professionals. They know what they're doing." "That time you took me to the MAC counter, they made me look like a drag queen," I said. "That's their aesthetic," Taylor said. "At least let me put false eyelashes on you. I'm wearing them. So is Annika." I looked at Annika,
who was lying on the floor with a cucumber face mask on. "Your eyelashes are already long," I said.
"She's making me," Annika said through gritted teeth, trying not to crack her mask.
"Well, I'm not wearing them," I said. "Jer knows what my real eyelashes look like, and he doesn't care. Besides, they make my eyes itch. Remember, Tay? You put them on me for Halloween, and I took them off as soon as you had your back turned."
"A waste of $15," Taylor sniffed.
She slid off the bed and sat next to me on the floor. I was trying on the different lipsticks Taylor had brought with her. So far, it was between a rosy pink lip gloss and an apricot lipstick. "Which do you like better?" I asked her. I had the gloss on my top lip and the lipstick on my bottom lip.
"The lipstick," Taylor said. "It'll pop better in pictures."
At first, we were just going to have Josh take pictures. He'd taken a couple of photography classes at Finch, and he was the official frat photographer for all their parties. But now that Mr. Fisher and Denise Coletti were involved, we'd hired an actual photographer, someone Denise knew.
"I might still get my hair done," Taylor said.
"Go for it," I told her. We all changed into our pajamas, and Taylor and Annika presented me with a wedding gift. A lacy white baby doll nightie with matching panties.
"For the wedding night," Taylor said meaningfully.
Yeah, I got that," I said, holding up the underwear. I hoped I wasn't blushing too red. "Thanks, guys."
"Do you have any questions for us?" Taylor asked, perching on my bed. "Taylor, I, like, live in the world. I'm not an idiot. I'm just saying..."
She paused. "You probably won't like it that much the first couple of times. I mean, I'm super tiny, which means I'm really little down there, so it hurt a lot. It might not hurt as bad for you. Tell her, Annika."
Annika rolled her eyes. "It didn't hurt me at all, Iz."
"Well, you probably have a large vagina," Taylor said. Annika thumped Taylor on the head with a pillow, and we all started giggling and couldn't stop. Then I said, "Wait, exactly how bad did it hurt? Tay, did it hurt the way a punch in the stomach hurts?"
"Who's ever punched you in the stomach?" Annika asked me.
"I have an older brother," I reminded her.
"It's a different kind of pain," Taylor said.
"Did it hurt worse than period cramps?"
"Yes, but I would say it's more comparable to getting a shot of Novocaine in your gums."
"Great, now she's comparing losing your virginity to getting a cavity filled," Annika said, getting up.
"Iz, quit listening to her. I promise you it's more fun than going to the dentist. It would be one thing if you were both virgins, but Jeremiah knows what's up. He'll take care of you."
Taylor collapsed into another fit of giggles. "He'll take care of her." I tried to smile, but my face felt frozen. Jeremiah had been with two other girls. His high school girlfriend, Mara, and now Lacey Barone. So, yeah. I was pretty sure he'd know what to do. I just wished he didn't. We were all lying in my bed, side by side by side. We were just talking with the lights off, and Annika fell asleep first. I'd been going over and over it, whether or not I should confide in Taylor, tell her about Conrad, how mixed up I'd been feeling. I wanted to tell her, but I was also afraid. "Tay," I whispered. She was lying next to me, and I was on the edge of the bed because I was going to leave and sleep in Jer's room when the boys came back.
"What?"
Her voice was sleepy. "Something weird happened."
"What?"
She was alert now. "Yesterday, Conrad cut his leg up surfing, and I helped him, and there was this weird moment between us."
"Did you kiss?"
she hissed.
"No!"
But then I whispered, "But I wanted to. I was
tempted to."
"Whoa," she said with a little sigh. "But nothing happened, right? Nothing happened. I just feel freaked out because I kind of wanted it to. Just for a second." I let out a big breath. "I'm getting married in a couple of days. I shouldn't be thinking about kissing other boys." Softly, she said, "Conrad's not other boys. He's your first love. Your first great love."
"You're right," I said, relieved. I felt lighter already. "It's nostalgia, that's all this is."
Taylor hesitated and then said, "There's something I haven't told you. Conrad went to see your mom." My breath caught.
"When?"
"A couple of weeks ago. He convinced her to come to the bridal shower. She told my mom, and my mom told me." I was silent.
"He did that for me?"
"I didn't tell you because I didn't want it to get you all mixed up again. Because you love Jer, right? You want to marry him?"
"Uh-huh.
Are you sure?" "Because it's not too late, you know. You could still call the whole thing off. You don't have to do this weekend. You could take some more time. I don't need more time," I said.
"Okay."
I rolled over. "Good night, Tay."
"Good night."
It took a while before her breathing turned heavy and regular, and I just lay there next to her, thinking. Conrad was still looking out for me. Silently, I got out of bed, crossed the room, and felt my way around my bureau until I found it. My glass unicorn. Chapter 45. When Susanna would drop us off at the mall or the putt-putt, she would put Conrad in charge every time. She'd say, "Take care of them, Connie. I'm counting on you." There was this time we split up at the mall, because the boys wanted to go to the arcade and I didn't. I was 8. I said I'd meet them in the food court in 1 hour. I went straight to the glassblower shop. The boys never wanted to go in the glassblower shop, but I loved it. I'd wander from counter to counter. I especially liked looking at the glass unicorns. I wanted to buy one, just a little one, but they were $12. I only had 10. I couldn't stop looking at the unicorn. I'd pick it up, then put it down again, then pick it up again. Before I knew it, more than an hour had passed, almost 2. I ran back to the food court as fast as I could. I worried the boys had left without me. When I showed up, Conrad wasn't there. Jeremiah and Steven were sitting in the Taco Bell section, counting their arcade tickets.
"Where have you been?"
Steven said, looking annoyed. I ignored him. "Where's Conrad?" I asked Jeremiah, panting.
"He went off looking for you,"
Jeremiah said. To Steven, he said,
"Do you want to use our tickets to buy something now or save up a ton for next time?"
"Let's wait," Steven said. "The guy told me they're getting more prizes next week."
When Conrad came back a little while later to find me sitting with Jeremiah and Steven and eating an ice cream cone, he looked so mad.
"Where were you?" he yelled. "You were supposed to be back here at 3.
I could feel a lump in my throat, and I knew I was about to cry. "At the glassblower shop," I whispered, my Moose Tracks ice cream dripping in my hand.
"If something happened to you, my mom would have killed me. I'm the one she left in charge.
There was this unicorn."
"Forget it. You're not coming anywhere with us anymore."
"No, Conrad! Come on!" I cried, brushing my tears away with my sticky hand. "I'm sorry." He felt bad for yelling. I could tell. He sat down next to me and said,
"Don't ever do that again, Belly. From now on, we stick together. Okay?"
"Okay," I said, sniffling. For my birthday that August, Conrad gave me a glass unicorn. Not the small one, but the big one that cost $20. Its horn broke off during one of Jeremiah and Steven's wrestling matches, but I kept it. I kept it right on top of my bureau. How could I have thrown such a gift away? Chapter 46. Conrad.
I volunteered to be the DD. By the time we left the house, everyone was already pretty sloppy from the wine and beer. We took that kid Tom, or Redbird, or whatever his name is, his car, because it was the biggest. It was practically a Hummer. Jer sat in the passenger seat next to me, and the other guy sat in the back. Tom reached up between us and turned the radio on. He started to rap with the music, off beat and wrong lyrics. Josh joined him, and Stephen opened the sunroof and stuck his head out. With a sidelong glance at Jer, I said, "These are your friends?" He laughed and started rapping, too. The bar was packed. Girls everywhere in high heels and glossy lipstick, with their hair shiny and straight. Right away, Redbird started trying to dance on every girl that walked by, shot down each and every time. I went to the bar to get the first round, and Stephen followed me. We were waiting to get the bartender's attention when he clapped his hand on my shoulder and said, "So, how are you doing with this whole thing?"
"What?
The wedding?"
"Yeah."
I turned away from him. "It is what it is."
"Do you think it's a mistake?"
I didn't have to answer him because the bartender finally looked our way. 5 double shots of tequila and a Newcastle," I said. Stephen said, "You're not going to take a shot with us? I've got to take care of you numbskulls, remember?" We carried the shots back to the table where the other guys were sitting. All 5 guys pounded them back, and then Redbird got up and started beating his chest and yelling like Tarzan. The guys busted up laughing and started egging him on to go talk to a couple of girls on the dance floor. He and Stephen went over to them, and we all sat back and watched. Stephen was having better luck than Redbird. He and the red-haired girl started dancing, and Redbird came back to our table, dejected. "I'll get us another round," I said. I figured it was my duty as best man to get them all wasted. I came back with 5 more shots of tequila, and since Stephen was still out on the dance floor, Jer downed his shot. I was nursing my beer when I heard that guy Josh say to Jeremiah, "Dude, you're finally gonna get to close with Belly." My head snapped up. Jeremiah had his arm slung around Josh while he sang, "It's a nice day for a white wedding." They hadn't had sex yet? Then I heard Josh say, "Yo, you're like a virgin now, too. You haven't gotten any since Lacey in Cabo."
Cabo?
Jeremiah had gone to Cabo this past spring break, when he and Belly were a couple. Jeremiah started to sing, off-key, "Like a virgin, touched for the very first time." Then he stood up. "I gotta piss." I watched him stumble off to the bathroom, and Josh said, "Fisher's a lucky bastard. Lacey is smoking." Tom elbowed him and said loudly, "Shit, remember how they locked us out of the hotel room?" To me, he said, "This is hilarious, man. Hilarious. They locked us out, and they were so into it, they didn't even hear us knocking. We had to sleep in the friggin' hallway that night." Laughing, Josh said, "That girl was hella loud, too. Oh, Jer, I saw red. Under the tables, I clenched my fists. I wanted to hit something. First, I wanted to hit these 2 guys, and then I wanted to go find my brother and beat the shit out of him. I jumped up from the table and made my way across the club, shouldering and pushing my way through the crowd until I got to the bathroom. I banged on the door. "Somebody's in here!" Jeremiah slurred from inside. Then I heard him retch into the toilet. I stood there another few seconds, and then I walked away, past our table, and out to the parking lot.
Chapter 47. An hour later, the boys came back, drunk as skunks. I'd seen Jer drunk before, but not like this. He was so wasted, the boys practically had to carry him upstairs. He could barely open his eyes.
"Belly," he called out. "I'm gonna marry you, girl."
From the bottom of the staircase, I yelled back, "Go to sleep." Conrad wasn't with them. I asked Tom, "Where's Conrad? I thought he was your designated driver." Tom was swaying upstairs.
"I don't know. He was with us."
I went out to the car, thinking maybe he'd passed out in the back seat. But he wasn't there. I was starting to get worried. But just then I caught a glimpse of him way down the beach, sitting in the lifeguard stand. I took off my shoes and made my way over to him. "Come down," I called up. "Don't fall asleep up there."
"Come up," he said.
Just for a minute.
I thought about it for a second. He didn't sound drunk. He sounded fine. I climbed up the side of the chair and sat next to him. Did you guys have fun? I asked him. He didn't answer me. I watched the water lap along the shore. There was a crescent moon. I said, I love it here at night. And then suddenly he said, I have to tell you something. Something in his voice scared me. What? Looking out at the ocean, he said,
Jer cheated on you when he was in Cabo.
That wasn't what I expected him to say. It was maybe the last thing I expected him to say. His jaw was clenched, and he looked angry.
Tonight at the club, one of his dumbass friends said something.
He finally looked at me.
I'm sorry you had to hear it from me. I thought you had a right to know.
I didn't know how to answer him. I finally said, I already knew about it. His head jerked back.
You knew?
Yeah.
And you're still marrying him.
My cheeks felt hot. He made a mistake, I said softly. He hates himself for what he did. I forgave him. Everything's fine now. Everything's really great.
Conrad's mouth curled in disgust. Are you kidding me? He spent the night in a hotel room with some girl, and you're defending him? Who are you to judge us? It's none of your business. None of my business. That shithead is my brother, and you're...
He didn't finish his sentence. Instead, he said,
I never thought you'd be the kind of girl who would put up with that from a guy.
I put up with a lot worse from you. I said it automatically. I said it without thinking.
Eyes flashing, he said, I never once cheated on you. I never even looked at another girl when we were together.
I slid away from him and started to climb down. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I didn't know why he was bringing any of this up now. I just wanted it all to go away.
I thought I knew you,
he said. I guess he thought wrong, I said. Then I jumped the rest of the way down. I heard him jump down behind me, and I started to walk away. I could feel tears coming, and I didn't want him to see. Conrad ran up behind me and grabbed my arm. I tried to turn my head away from him, but he saw, and his face changed. He felt sorry for me. That only made me feel worse.
I'm sorry,
he said.
I shouldn't have said anything. You're right. It's not my business.
I spun away from him. I didn't need his pity. I started walking in the opposite direction of the house. I didn't know where I was going. I just wanted to get away from him. He called out, I still love you. I froze. And then slowly, I turned around to look at him. Don't say that. He took a step closer.
I don't know if I'll ever get you out of my system. Not completely. I have this feeling that you'll always be there. Here.
Conrad clawed at his heart and then dropped his hand. It's only because I'm marrying Jeremiah. I hated the way my voice sounded, shaky and small.
Weak.
That's why you're saying all this all of a sudden.
It's not all of a sudden,
he said, his eyes locked on mine.
It's always.
It doesn't matter. It's too late. I turned away from him.
Wait,
he said. He grabbed my arm again. Let go of me, I said, and my voice was so cold I wouldn't have recognized it. It surprised him, too. He flinched, and his hand dropped.
Just tell me one thing. Why get married now?
He said.
Why not just live together?
I had asked myself the same question. I still hadn't come up with a good answer. I started to walk away, but he followed me. He wrapped his arms around me, over my shoulders. Let go, I struggled, but he held on.
Wait, wait!
My heart was racing. What if someone saw us?
What if someone heard?
If you don't let go of me, I'm going to scream.
Hear me out. Just for a minute, please. I'm begging you.
He sounded strangled and hoarse. I let out a breath. In my head, I started to count backward. 60 seconds was all he would get from me. I would let him talk for 60 seconds, and then I would go and not look back. 2 years ago, this was all I wanted to hear from him, but it was too late now. Quietly, he said,
2 years ago, I fucked up.
But not in the way you think.
That night, do you remember that night? The night we were driving back from school and it was raining so hard, we had to stop at that motel. Do you remember?
I remembered that night. Of course I did.
That night. I didn't sleep at all. I stayed up, thinking about what to do. What was the right thing to do? Because I knew I loved you, but I knew I shouldn't. I didn't have the right to love anybody then. After my mom died, I was so pissed off. I had this anger in me all the time. I felt like I was going to erupt any minute.
He drew his breath in.
I didn't have it in me to love you the way you deserved, but I knew who did. Jer.
He loved you.
If I kept you with me, I was going to hurt you somehow. I knew it. I couldn't have it. So I let you go.
I'd stopped counting by then. I just concentrated on breathing in and out.
But this summer. God, this summer. Being near you again. Talking the way we used to talk. You looking at me the way you used to.
I closed my eyes. It didn't matter what he said now. That was what I told myself.
I see you again. And everything I planned goes to shit. It's impossible. I love Jer more than anybody. He's my brother, my family. I hate myself for doing this. But when I see you two together, I hate him too.
His voice broke.
Don't marry him. Don't be with him. Be with me.
His shoulders shook. He was crying. Hearing him beg like this, seeing him exposed and vulnerable, it felt like my heart was breaking. There were so many things I wanted to say to him, but I couldn't. With Conrad, once I started, I couldn't stop. I broke away from him, roughly. Conrad, he grabbed me, just tell me, do you still feel anything for me? I pushed him away.
No! Don't you get it? You will never be what Jer is to me. He's my best friend. He loves me no matter what. He doesn't take it away whenever he feels like it. Nobody has ever treated me the way he does. Nobody. Least of all you.
You and I said, and then I stopped. I had to get this right. I had to make it so that he let me go forever. You and I were never anything. His face went slack. I saw the light die out in his eyes. I couldn't look at him anymore. I started walking again, and this time he didn't follow me. I didn't look back. Couldn't look back. If I saw his face again, I might not be able to leave. As I walked, I told myself, hold it. Hold it. Just a little longer. Only when I was sure he couldn't see me. Only when the house was in sight again. That was when I let myself cry. I dropped down in the sand and cried for Conrad, and then for me. I cried for what was never going to be. It's a known fact that in life you can't have everything. In my heart, I knew I loved them both, as much as it is possible to love two people at the same time. Conrad and I were linked. We would always be linked. That wasn't something I could do away with. I knew that now. That love wasn't something you could erase, no matter how hard you tried. I got up. I brushed the sand from my body, and I went inside the house. I climbed into Jeremiah's bed, next to him. He was passed out, snoring loudly the way he did when he drank too much.
I love you, I said to his back.
Chapter 48. Late the next morning, Taylor and Annika went into town to pick up some last-minute things. I stayed behind to clean the bathrooms, since the parents were arriving later that day. The boys were all still asleep, which was a good thing. I didn't know what I would or wouldn't say to Jeremiah. The worry was eating me up inside. Would it be selfish, or would it be merciful not to say anything? I ran into Conrad on my way out of the shower, and I couldn't even look him in the eye. I heard his car leave soon after. I didn't know where he'd gone, but I hoped he'd stay far away from me. It felt too raw. Too soon. I found myself wishing that either he or I wasn't there. I couldn't leave. I was the one getting married, but I wished he would. It would make things easier. It was a selfish thought, I knew. It was half Conrad's house, after all. After I'd made the beds and straightened up the guest bathroom, I went down to the kitchen to make myself a sandwich. I thought I was safe. I thought he was still out. But there he was, eating a sandwich himself. As soon as he saw me, Conrad put down his sandwich. Roast beef, it looked like.
Can I talk to you for a sec?
I'm about to go into town to run some errands, I said, looking somewhere in the vicinity of over his shoulder, anywhere but at him. Wedding stuff. I started to walk away, but he followed me out to the porch.
Listen, I'm sorry about last night.
I didn't say anything.
Will you do me a favor? Will you just forget everything I said?
He flashed a slight, ironic kind of smile. I wanted to smack the smile off his face.
I was out of my mind last night, drunk off my ass. Being here again, it just brought back a lot of stuff. But it's all ancient history, I know that. Honestly, I can barely remember what I said, but I'm sure that whatever it was out of line. I'm really sorry.
For a moment, I felt such rage, I think I forgot how to speak. I found it was hard to catch my breath. I felt like a flopping goldfish, opening and closing my mouth, sucking in pockets of air. I hadn't even slept the night before. Instead, I'd agonized over every word he said to me. I felt so stupid. And to think, just for a second, just for a moment, I had wavered. I had pictured it. What it would be like if I was marrying him and not Jeremiah. I hated him for that. You weren't drunk. I said,
yeah, I really was.
This time he gave me an apologetic smile. I ignored it. You brought up all that the weekend of my wedding, and now you want me to just forget it? You're sick. Don't you get that you can't play with people like that? Conrad's smile faded.
Hold on a second. Billy,
don't say my name. I backed away from him. Don't even think it. In fact, don't ever speak to me again. Again, with the ironic half-smile, he said,
well, that would be kind of hard, considering the fact that you're marrying my brother. Come on, Billy.
I didn't think I could be angrier. And now I was. I was so mad, I practically spat as I said, I want you to leave. Make up one of your bullshit excuses and just go. Go back to Boston or California. I don't care where. I just want you gone. His eye twitched.
I'm not leaving.
Go, I said, shoving him hard. Just go. That's when I saw the first cracks in his armor. His voice cracking, he said,
what did you expect me to say to you, Belly?
Stop saying my name, I screamed. What do you want from me? He yelled back. I laid myself fucking bare last night. I put it all out there, and you shut me down. Rightfully so. I get that I shouldn't have said any of that stuff to you. But now, here I am trying to find a way to come out of this with just a little fragment of pride so I can look you in the eye when this is all over, and you won't even let me have that. You broke my heart last night, all right? Is that what you want to hear? Again, I was at a loss for words, and then I found them. I said, you really are heartless.
No, I think you might actually be the heartless one.
he said. He was already walking away as I called out, "What is that supposed to mean?" I walked up right behind and twisted his arm toward me so we were facing each other. "Tell me what you meant by that." "You know what it means," Conrad jerked away from me. "I still love you." "I never stopped. I think you know it. I think you've known it all along." I pressed my lips together, shaking my head. "That's not true. Don't lie." I shook my head again.
"Have it your way. But I'm not going to pretend for you anymore."
With that, he walked down the steps into his car. I sank onto the deck. My heart was pounding a million trillion times a minute. I never felt more alive. Anger, sadness, joy. He made me feel it all. No one else had that kind of effect on me. No one. Suddenly I had this feeling, this absolute certainty that I was never going to be able to let him go. It was as simple and as hard as that. I had clung to him like a barnacle all these years, and now I couldn't cut away. It was my own fault, really. I couldn't let go of Conrad, and I couldn't walk away from Jeremiah. Where did that leave me? I was getting married tomorrow. If I did it, if I chose Conrad, I could never go back. I would never cup the back of Jer's neck in my hand again. Feel its downy softness, like feathers. Jer would never look at me the way he did now. He looked at me like I was his girl, which I was. And it felt like it had always been that way. That would all be lost. Over. Some things you can't take back. How was I supposed to say goodbye to all of those things? I couldn't. And what about our families? What would it do to my mother, his father? It would destroy us. I couldn't do that. Especially with everything so fragile now that Susanna was gone. We were still figuring out how to all be together without her. How to still be that summer family. I couldn't give all that up, just for this. Just for Conrad. Conrad, who told me he loved me. At last, he said the words. When Conrad Fisher told a girl he loved her, he meant it. A girl could believe in that. A girl could maybe even bet her whole life on it. That was what I would be doing. I would be betting my whole life on him. And I couldn't do it. I wouldn't. Chapter 49. Conrad.
I was in my car, driving away, my adrenaline pumping hard. I finally said it, the actual words, out loud, to her face. It was a relief, not carrying it around anymore, and it was a rush, actually telling her. I was in an elated sort of daze, on a high. She loved me. I didn't need to hear her say it out loud. I knew it innately in the way she looked at me just then. But now what? If she loved me and I loved her, what did we do now, when there were so many people in between us? How could I ever get to her? Did I have it in me to just grab her hand and run away? I believed she'd come with me. If I asked her, I believed she really might come. But where would we even go? Would they forgive us? Jer, Laurel, my dad. And if I really did take her away, where would I be leading her? Beyond that, the questions and the doubts. In the pit of my stomach, there was all this regret. If I had told her a year ago, a month ago, even a week ago, would things be different now? It was the day before her wedding. In 24 hours, she would be married to my brother. Why did I wait so long? I drove around for a while, into town and then along the water, then I went back to the house. None of the cars were parked in the driveway, so I thought I was home free for a while. But then there was Taylor sitting on the front porch. "Where is everybody?" I asked her.
"Well, hello to you, too."
She pushed her sunglasses to the top of her head.
"They went sailing."
"Why didn't you go with them?"
"I get seasick."
Taylor eyed me.
"I need to talk to you."
Warily, I eyed her back. "About what?" She pointed at the chair next to hers.
"Come sit down first."
I sat.
"What did you say to Belly last night?"
Averting my eyes, I said, "What did she tell you?"
"Nothing. But I can tell something's wrong. I know she was crying last night. Her eyes were completely swollen this morning. I would be willing to bet money that she was crying because of you." "Again. Nice one, Conrad."
I could feel my chest tighten. "It's none of your business." Taylor glared at me.
"Belly is my oldest friend in the world. Of course it's my business. I'm warning you, Conrad. Leave her alone. You're confusing her. Again."
I started to stand up. "Are we done?"
"No, sit your ass back down."
I sat down again.
"Do you have any idea how badly you've hurt her over and over again? You treat her like a toy that you just pick up and play with whenever you feel like it. You're like a little boy. Someone else took what was yours, and you don't like that one bit, so you swoop in and shit all over everything just because you can."
I exhaled. "That's not what I'm trying to do." She bit her lip.
"Belly told me that a part of her will always love you. Are you still trying to tell me you don't care?"
She said that. I never said I didn't care.
"You're probably the only one who could stop her from going through with this wedding. But you'd better be damn sure you still want her, because if you don't, you're just effing up their lives for no reason."
She put her sunglasses back on.
"Don't eff up my best friend's life, Conrad. Don't be a selfish bastard like usual. Be the good guy she says you are. Let her go."
"Be the good guy she says you are." I thought I could do it. Fight for her till the end. Not think about anyone else. Just grab her hand and run. But if I did that, wouldn't I be proving Belly wrong? I wasn't a good guy. I would be a selfish bastard just like Taylor said. But I would have Belly next to me.
Chapter 50. That night, we all had dinner at a newish restaurant in town. My parents, Mr. Fisher, all of us kids. I wasn't hungry, but I ordered a lobster roll and I ate every bite of it because my dad was paying. He insisted. My dad, who wore the same white dress shirt with gray stripes for every fancy occasion. He was wearing it that night, sitting next to my mother in her navy shirt dress, and my heart just swelled with love every time I looked at the two of them. And there was Taylor, pretending to be interested as my dad went on about a lobster's nervous system. Sitting next to Annika, who actually did look interested. Next to Annika was my brother, who was rolling his eyes. Conrad sat at the far end of the table, with Jer's friends. I made a conscious effort not to look in his direction, to just keep focused on my plate, on Jeremiah, next to me. I didn't have to bother, because Conrad wasn't looking at me either. He was talking to the guys, to Stephen, to my mother, to everyone but me. "This is what you wanted," I reminded myself. "You told him to leave you alone. You asked for this. You can't have it both ways."
"Are you okay?"
Jeremiah whispered.
I lifted my head and smiled at him. Yeah, of course, I'm just full. Jeremiah took one of my fries and said, save room for dessert. I nodded. Then he leaned over and kissed me. And I kissed him back. After, I saw his eyes flicker over to the end of the table. So quick, I could have imagined it. Chapter 51. Conrad.
I felt like I was going out of my mind that night. Sitting there at the table with everyone, cheersing when my dad made a toast. Trying not to watch when Jer kissed her in front of all of us. After dinner was over, Jer and Belly and all their friends went to the boardwalk for ice cream. My dad and Belly's dad went to their hotel. It was just Lore and me back at the house. I was on my way up to my room, but Laurel stopped me and said, "Hey, let's have a beer, Connie. I think we deserve it, don't you?" We sat at the kitchen table with our beers. She clinked my bottle and said, "To... what should we toast to?"
"What else? To the happy couple."
Without looking at me, Laurel said, "How are you doing?"
"Good," I said. "Great."
"Come on. This is your Laura you're talking to. Tell me, how are you feeling?"
"Honestly?" I swigged my beer. "It's pretty much killing me."
Laurel looked back at me, her face tender. "I'm sorry. I know you love her a lot, kid. This must be really hard on you."
I could feel my throat starting to close up. I tried to clear it, unsuccessfully. I could feel it coming up in my chest, behind my eyes. I was going to cry in front of her. It was the way she said it. It was like my mom was right there, knowing without me having to tell her. Laurel took my hand and clasped it in hers. I tried to pull it away, but she held on tighter.
"We'll get through it tomorrow, I promise. It'll be you and me, kid."
Squeezing my hand, she said,
"God, I miss your mom."
"Me too."
"We really need her right now, don't we?"
I bowed my head and started to cry.
Chapter 52. I wanted to sleep in Jeremiah's room that night, but when I started to follow him upstairs, Taylor wagged her finger at me. "Uh-uh, it's bad luck." So I'd gone to my room, and he'd gone to his. It was too hot. I couldn't sleep. I'd kick the covers off and flip my pillow over to cool off, but it didn't help. I kept looking at the alarm clock. 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock. When I couldn't stand it anymore, I threw off my sheets and put on my bathing suit. I didn't turn on any lights. I just found my way downstairs in the darkness. The moonlight was enough to guide me. Everyone else was asleep. I made my way outside, down to the pool. I dove in, held my breath for as long as I could. I could already feel my bones start to relax. When I came back up for air, I floated on my back and looked up at the sky. The stars were out. I loved how quiet it was. How still. The only thing I could hear was the ocean lapping against the sand. Tomorrow I would become Isabel Fisher. It was what I always wanted. My girlhood dream come true 1,000 times over. And I'd wrecked it. Or rather, I was about to wreck it. I had to tell the truth. I couldn't marry Jeremiah tomorrow like this. Not with a secret that big between us. I climbed out of the pool, put the towel around me, and went inside the house, up to Jeremiah's room. He was asleep, but I shook him awake. "I need to talk to you," I said.
Water from my hair dripped onto his pillow, onto his face. Groggily, he said,
"Isn't it bad luck?"
"I don't care." Jeremiah sat up, wiping his cheeks.
"What's up?"
"Let's talk outside," I said. We went down to the porch and sat on a lounge chair. Without preamble, I said, quietly, "Last night Conrad told me he still has feelings for me." I could feel Jeremiah's body go rigid beside me. I waited for him to speak. And when he didn't, I went on. "Of course I told him I didn't feel the same way. I wanted to tell you sooner, but then I thought it would be a mistake that I should keep it to myself."
"I'm going to kill him,"
he said, and hearing those words coming out of his mouth shocked me. He stood up. I tried to pull him back down next to me, but he resisted. I pleaded, "Jer, no, don't, please, just sit here and talk to me."
"Why are you protecting him?"
I'm not. He looked down at me.
"Are you marrying me to erase him?"
"No," I said, and it came out more like a gasp. "No."
"The thing is, Bells, I don't believe you,"
Jeremiah said, and his voice was strangely flat.
"I see the way you look at him. I don't think you've ever looked at me like that. Not even once."
I jumped up and grabbed at his hands desperately, but he pulled away. I was breathing hard when I said, "That's not true, Jer. It's not true at all. What I feel for him is all memories. That's it. It has nothing to do with us. All that's in the past. Can't we just forget the past and make our own future? Just the two of us?" Levelly, he said,
"Is it the past? I know you saw him over Christmas. I know you guys were together here."
I opened my mouth, but no words came out.
"Say something. Go ahead, try to deny it."
"Nothing happened between us, Jer. I promise you. I didn't even know he was going to be here. The only reason I didn't tell you was..." What was it? Why didn't I tell him? Why couldn't I think of a reason? I didn't want you to be upset over nothing.
If it was nothing, you would have told me about it. Instead, you kept it a secret. After all that stuff you said to me about trust, you kept that to yourself. I felt like shit for what I did with Lacey, and you and I weren't even together when it happened.
I felt sick inside. "How long have you known?"
"Does it matter?" he snapped. "Yes, to me it does."
Jeremiah started to back away from me.
"I've known since it happened. Conrad mentioned he saw you. He thought I already knew. So of course I had to play it off like I did. Do you know how stupid I felt?"
"I can imagine," I whispered. "Why didn't you say something?" We were standing only 5 or 6 feet away from each other, but it felt like miles. It was his eyes. They were so distant.
"I was waiting for you to tell me. And you never did."
"I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have told you. I was wrong."
It was stupid. My heart was beating so fast.
"I love you. We're getting married tomorrow, me and you, right?" When he didn't answer me, I asked again,
"Aren't we?" "I've got to get out of here,"
he said at last.
"I need to think.
Can I come with you?" This time the answer came swiftly, and it was devastating.
"No,"
he said. He left, and I didn't try to follow him. I just sank onto the steps. I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't feel my body. Was this happening? Was this real? It didn't feel real. Chapter 53. Somewhere outside, a goldfinch was singing. Or maybe it was a song sparrow. My dad had tried to teach me the different kinds of bird songs, but I couldn't quite remember. The sky was gray. It wasn't raining yet. but any minute now, it was going to pour. It was like any other morning in Cousin's Beach, except it wasn't, because I was getting married. I was reasonably sure I was getting married. The only thing was, I had no idea where Jeremiah had gone, or if he was even coming back. I was sitting at the vanity mirror in my pink bathrobe, trying to curl my hair. Taylor was at the beauty salon, and she'd tried to persuade me to get mine done there too, but I'd said no. The only time I ever got my hair done, I hated the way it looked. Like a beauty pageant contestant, stiff and high. I didn't look like me. I thought that today of all days, I should look like me. There was a knock at the door. Come in, I said, trying to fix a curl that had already gone limp. The door opened. It was my mother. She was already dressed. She was wearing a suit jacket and linen pants and was carrying a lemon-yellow envelope. I recognized it right away. Susanna's personal stationery. It was so like her. I wished I was worthy of it. It hurt to think that I had let her down like this. What would she say if she knew? My mother closed the door behind her. Do you want me to help? She asked. I handed her the curling iron. She set down the letter on my dresser. She stood behind me, sectioning my hair off into thirds. Did Taylor do your makeup? It looks nice. Yeah, she did. Thanks. You look really nice, too. I'm not ready for this, she said. I looked at her in the mirror, winding my hair around the barrel, her head down. My mother was beautiful to me in that moment. She put her hands on my shoulders and looked at me in the mirror. This isn't what I wanted for you, but I'm here. This is your wedding day, my only daughter. I reached over my shoulder and took her hand. She squeezed my hand tight, so tight it hurt. I wanted to confide in her, to confess that things were a mess, that I didn't even know where Jeremiah was or if I would be getting married after all. But it had taken her so long to get here, and if I raised one single doubt now, that would be more than enough for her to put an end to it. She would throw me over her shoulder and carry me away from this whole wedding. So all that came out was, "Thank you, Mommy." "You're welcome," she said. She looked over toward my window. "Do you think the weather will hold?" "I don't know. I hope so." "Well, if worst comes to worst, we'll move the wedding inside. No big shakes." Then she handed me the letter. "Susanna wanted you to have this on your wedding day." My mother kissed me on the top of my head and walked out of the room. I picked up the letter, ran my fingers along my name, written in Susanna's smooth cursive. Then I put it back down on the dresser. Not yet. There was a knock at the door. "Who is it?" I asked. "Stephen." "Come in." The door opened, and Stephen came in, closing it behind him. He was wearing the white linen shirt and khaki shorts all the groomsmen were wearing. "Hey," he said, sitting down on my bed. "Your hair looks nice." "Is he back?" Stephen hesitated. "Just tell me, Stephen."
"No. He's not back. Conrad went off to find him. He thinks he knows where Jer went."
I let out a breath. I was relieved, but at the same time, what would Jeremiah do when he saw Conrad? What if it only made things worse?
"He's going to call as soon as he finds him."
I nodded, then picked up the curling iron again. My fingers trembled, and I had to steady my hand so I wouldn't burn my cheek.
"Did you tell Mom anything?" Stephen asked.
"No. I haven't told anybody. So far, there's nothing to tell." I wound a piece of hair around the barrel. "He'll be here. I know he will." And I mostly believed it.
"Yeah," Stephen said. "Yeah, I'm sure you're right. Do you want me to stay with you?"
I shook my head. I need to get ready.